Well, hi, everybody. It's wonderful to be here with you all in community at this time. And I know, even though Leslie and I are here in South Africa, we're very attuned to what's happening in the United States. And it's been quite a week, I know. I've been talking to so many people in the CoreLight community and friends and family. And so I'd like to just start by acknowledging, what's happening, acknowledging the energy. Some people said to me that they felt that the American psyche had been completely shattered. And so I know many, many people are hurting. And somebody said, it felt worse to her than 9/11. And, someone else said it was the hardest week of my life. And so I know many people join these calls from other countries, and so I just want to also acknowledge you that we don't always just speak about America, although most of the people in the CoreLight community and most of the people who listen to these calls are in the United States. So I just feel like it's highly appropriate that we just acknowledge this and put this into our sacred circle, and that our global CoreLight community can be holding this awareness of what's happening energetically, and just to acknowledge the shock and the fear and all the other emotions that are coming up for so many people. I heard people talking about a lot of panic attacks and so much grief and anger and just the whole soup of emotions that is happening for everybody right now, especially in America, but all over the world. I've received communications from friends in many countries just wanting to talk about this, wanting to check in. So we will do that today. Today is going to be really dedicated to looking at what's going on and talking about the shadow aspect and how we can get through this time and how to live in love when it's so challenging, when there's so much fear. So those will be some of the themes we talk about today. and before, there are a few things I'd like to just say before we move on. I just wanted to thank all of the donors in November and December, to everybody who donated to CoreLight and to Seeds of Light, our humanitarian arm. I'm so grateful to you. And I have to apologize. I have not had time to write all of the thank you notes yet. So if you haven't heard from me, it's just because it's been a very full time. It's not because we're unappreciative. Leslie and I both are deeply, deeply grateful to you for supporting CoreLight with your donations. It makes these calls possible. It makes our work possible. And I thank you. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. And also, before we continue with our call, I think the most important thing here is to acknowledge that today, you may have already read the email that I sent out last weekend about this, but today is going to be our farewell to Barbara as the host of the Spiritual Weather Report calls. And Barbara is going to be taking her next step in her own journey as a spiritual teacher and launching more into offering her own work. So I just want to take a few moments right now to say a few things and also to allow Barbara to share. And so first, just as we're sitting in our sacred circle here with the community as witness, Barbara, I just publicly would love to thank you for everything that you've given over so many years. And you have offered so much love and support and service and dedication. And I especially want to thank you for the past several years of hosting the Spiritual Weather Report calls, but it's so much more than that. And we've been going through this huge transformation CoreLight has, and you've been such an important part of it. And so I'm deeply grateful to you. I bow to you for all that you've given, for all that you've done. And it's been quite a journey and quite a gift for me to be able to walk this path with you and hold hands together along the way. And so personally, I'm going to miss you on these calls, and I know that we're all going to miss you. And I know that that sounds like a goodbye. And of course, it's not really a goodbye because you're always part of the Corelight community. That doesn't change. And I also, I just want to share with everybody that Barbara's going to continue to offer her monthly squares calls that she's been doing for so long, but they'll be in a new format, and they're no longer going to be under the Corelight umbrella. So you can contact Barbara directly for more details about her squares calls and the other things, the other wonderful things she's going to be doing. Her email address is Barbara's Bridge. That's Barbara's Bridge@yahoo.com. And she's also going to put all this information on her website, which is Bridge to Transformation. Excuse me, Bridge2Transformation.com. And so I just encourage everybody to check that out and check out all the wonderful things Barbara's going to be offering. And as you know, she's full of love and full of wisdom and has so much to offer. And so Barbara, I wish you so much, so many blessings on this new leg of your journey. And I know that so many people are going to benefit from what you offer, from your teachings. And I'd just like to open the mic to you. Is there anything that you would like to say?
Thank you, Brad, and such kind and loving words to share. I so appreciate them. I take them in fully. This has been quite the journey for me, and I am in deep gratitude to have been able to connect with so many of you. You are each a gift in my life. I have, as many of you know, I've been with Corelight for 22 years, and I sensed, felt that, you know, this day, this time, this moment would come. You know, I was thinking about it earlier this morning as I was sitting contemplating new beginnings and realizing that there are many of us who were born into not the most functional, loving families, and have worked, you know, long and hard to find the love that we perhaps did not get when we came into this world. And Corelight has been my family, loving, accepting, welcoming. I have so many profound and amazing friends that I really truly call family. And I am so deeply, deeply grateful. And as Brad said, I'm not really leaving Corelight. Corelight is in me as I am in Corelight. So there is no, as my one of my very dear friends said to me the other day, Barbara, there is no loss or gain. So that is the truth as we move into new beginnings. And I remember when I first connected up with Leslie, someone sent me her website that had a mandala on the homepage. And I was not very computer savvy, still not great with a computer. But at that time, I couldn't even really figure out how to get into the website. This was back in 1997, Christmas of 1997. And somehow I managed to find my way in, and there was a written out guided meditation from Leslie. And that meditation was called Coming Home. And I was what Leslie would have called a new age woo-woo. Coming in, I had not done any kind of spiritual training. I had not done any kind of formal meditation. And I came into this most profound and wonderful group, being a new age woo-woo for sure. But as I read her guided meditation, it was all about coming home. And I wept she was speaking to me. I knew. She was calling me home. And I knew she was to be my teacher. And I was blessed to be able to sit with her in April of 1998. It was her 10-year anniversary of her awakening. And so many profound and amazing stories to share about my journey. Everything so divinely guided, so profound, as is this moment with each and every one of you. And I am deeply, deeply grateful. So much that I could share, so much that I could say. And Brad has said to you already, I'm going to continue on with the teachings. They'll be from my perspective, from my understanding, from my heart. And I know that this is truly a gift. You know, one of the teachings from Leslie is life doesn't happen to you, it happens for you. And entering into the new beginnings with heart wide open and welcoming to all who feel called, guided to connect on any level. So I don't know that there's much more that I want to share or say other than I will miss you all, and I know that we will connect again. And so I think that's...
Barbara?
Yeah.
Barbara, is there any special event that's coming up that you'd like to tell anybody about?
Yes, I am planning on by the end of the month, and I will send out to any of you who contact me and are interested, there will be a Squares call before the end of January. I'm just in the process of trying to get things straightened out, but my intention is to have a Squares call on the 24th of January. So please do let me know if you're interested and you would like to participate. I would love that, and there'll be more information, as Brad said, on my website. And you can tell that the key for me from my guidance is to be the bridge. So it's all about our connection. We cannot do this alone. We need each other. We need community now more than ever. And we need to go in and trust our own inner guidance and not put out onto the outside world, not let the outside world dictate or tell us who or what we should be, who or what we should think, who or what we should feel, that we need to listen to our own inner voice. So thank you, Brad. This is, you know, emotional and changing, and so there's much more that I could say, but I'm feeling complete for now, so thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing, Barbara, and we love you, and we wish you well, and I know it's going to go so well for you and the lucky, lucky people who get to work with you. You are a blessing, and you're going to bring that to everybody. So God bless you on your teaching journey.
Thank you, Brad.
And thank you again, Barbara. Thank you for everything. So, okay. So I think that's a good note to start our guided meditation on. I invite you to get comfortable now and close your eyes. And take a few long, slow, deep breaths and relax. And let's start with with just simple breathing. Just breathe in through your nose, long, slow, deep breaths. Long, slow exhales through the mouth. And while you breathe, I'm going to speak just a little bit. And feel yourself relaxing as you breathe, releasing the tension, breathing in the light, breathing out any shadow, any emotions that are supercharged inside you. As you breathe and relax, As always, know that Leslie is here with us. She remains in silence, and she gives a transmission of Shakti or healing energy during these calls. And so we invite you to be meditative throughout the call and receive the transmission. And whether you're with us live today or listening to the recording, it doesn't matter, because it's a field and we're all connected in that field. And in that field, time and space do not exist. They only exist in the third dimension. And so we invite you to tune in to these other levels, which are beyond time and space. It's a place where we're all connected in love and in unity. And we all receive this transmission of light that comes through during the call, even if you can't feel it, even if you're listening in the future, even if you're multitasking, it's still okay. The light goes in just by being part of this and listening to the words. So continuing our breathing, deeply relaxing, and I invite you to scan your body from head to toes, relaxing all the muscles in the body, and visualize a leaf falling from a tree from side to side, gently flowing down your body as you scan the body just to see where you might be holding on to tension, breathing light and love into those areas and breathing out the tension. Feeling with each exhale that the shadow is swallowed up by Mother Earth. She gladly receives it from us. It's one of her gifts to us. It's not toxic to her. She's happy to transmute it for us. So you don't have to feel guilty for dumping your shadow. It's a good thing. It actually helps her, as it helps us, and it helps each of us, and it helps the collective as well. Just relaxing, just releasing, letting go. And let's put our attention on the root chakra, which is at the base of the spine. Gently putting our attention there and feel how the root chakra naturally opens and relaxes just by putting our attention there. And let's drop our grounding cords from the root chakra down into the center of the earth, connecting with the core of the earth. And feel your energy commingling with the core of the earth. Feel gravity gently pulling you down towards the earth. And let's all feel our connection with Mother Earth by putting our attention on the part of the body that connects to the chair or the floor, parts of the body. Just be with that place where you're connected and feel that. And feel gravity gently pulling you down in a very relaxing way. And feel Mother Earth supporting you from beneath. Feel yourself like a little baby relaxing into the arms of the mother. Gently letting go. Being deeply, deeply at peace. Nowhere to go, nothing to do. giving yourself the gift of this moment, the next hour and 45 minutes or so are completely dedicated to your spiritual journey. This is a gift that you give yourself. Feel the transmission of healing energy coming in as you just relax and go yin, receptive. It's the energy of pure light, pure oneness. Nobody's putting anything inside you. Nobody's doing anything to you. This is your own light. It's your own higher self giving you a gift. That's the truth of it. This is the light that we all share. It's the light we're all made of. The light of unity. As you continue your breathing and feel yourself being anchored to the earth, let's also put our attention at the same time on the crown chakra at the top of the head. It is like a crown that a king or a queen would wear. And you might feel it, you might not. Either way is okay. But feel it, if you can, on the top of your head, like a thousand-petaled lotus, opening up, unfurling petal by petal. And feel, when you do this, how you connect to the celestial realms. In fact, let's send a beam of energy from our core, or what's also called the Shushumna, the central core of light that runs down the body along the, just in front of the spine, in the subtle body. Send that beam of light out the top of your head up into the cosmos. And connect with any source of universal energy that you can imagine is there. So whatever source you choose, whether it's the sun or a galaxy or maybe a group of angels or an ascended master, whatever you feel is a source of universal energy, just plug into that and draw the light down from there into your body through the crown. Feel this universal source of energy pouring the light down into your body. Down the core, down the Shushumna, all the way down to the root chakra and down into the earth. So literally, you as a physical body are the connection point between heaven and earth. Just feel yourself suspended there, suspended between heaven and earth. It's a very light, a very freeing feeling. Sort of floaty. Just feel yourself hanging there, almost like a light bulb plugged into a socket that just hangs there. Just allow yourself to hang and fill up with light. Feel the light from above and below filling you up so much. Every cell of your body is receiving a light like a miniature sponge. Trillions of little sponges in your body soaking up the light. Filling you up so much. The light fills up your arms and your hands, and the light shoots out your fingertips. Fills up your legs and your feet. So much that the light shoots out the tips of your toes. Beautiful golden white light. Loving energy healing energy coming straight from your own divine source. Just relaxing into this place. And as we relax into this beautiful place, I will say a prayer and an invocation for our call today. So we call on the Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, the Self that we all are, the spark of infinity that we all are. We invite you into this space, all of our guides, the teachers, the angels who surround us in the highest love and support. We ask that you please wrap us up in a cocoon of golden white light and healing energy. Fill us up with love today and guide our conversation into the highest love, highest wisdom. And hold our hands as we walk this challenging path right now into our soul's highest purpose, this incarnation, at this extraordinary time. Let us be a light unto the world. Help us to transmute our fears and live in the light and the love that we are. And we give thanks. Knowing that this is so, we give thanks for this sacred circle that we are. Thanks for this opportunity to be together today, to share our love. With deep, deep gratitude. Alala ho. And then when you feel ready, slowly, if you choose to, you can stay in meditation, actually, if you want to. But if you need to get more in your body or multitask, you can start to wiggle your fingers and toes and slowly open your eyes when you're ready. Oh, okay. Well, welcome. Welcome again, everybody. Wow, what an incredible time we're in. And I'm not going to repeat what I said at the beginning of the call. If you joined a little late, you'll be able to go back and hear it in the recording. But I just want to acknowledge all that we're going through. What an extraordinary time we're in, the shattering and the shock and the massive change. So our topic for today is about this, and I want to go back for a moment to the last spiritual weather report call in December. It feels like lifetimes since that call, and in that call we talked about the growing divide in our world, and we took a look at some of the shadow aspects around the bifurcation in the consciousness that's happening right now, and I got more feedback from that call than any other call we've ever had. And 90% of it was very encouraging and very positive. And I'm going to share some of that with you today because it feels very important. And we're going to take all of that a step further today. So because of the recent events that have happened in the last week or so, the chasm that we talked about last time just seems to keep getting bigger, growing wider. And as I said at the beginning of this call, many people felt like the events of the past week were more traumatic than 9/11. So there are many people who are suffering and feeling very shattered and shocked and confusion and depression and especially the fear and the anger, I guess. So I know how challenging this time is for everybody, especially those who are in the U.S. And our hearts from all over the world go out to you. We send our love to you. We surround you. And we're all feeling it as well. So our call today is dedicated to this, to focusing on this and how best that we can all get through these challenging times. And so I ask you all a question. I'm wondering, how are you doing? How are you coping with this? How is your witness? How is your practicing of the witness with all of this? And I hope that you're managing to witness and to process your way through all of the shadow and all of these emotions that are coming up. And so I guess I thought I would start today by sharing some of the feedback that came in after the last call, because it actually applies very much to what we're continuing to go through now. And I actually, this first one I'm going to share, I found so helpful. It was a very long email, and the whole thing was incredibly helpful. So I thank the person who wrote it. Very helpful, very important. And I want to share just an excerpt of it with you. It's from a woman named Marie. And in this email, she says, and by the way, this was new to me, and it was so helpful, so I hope it's helpful to you as well. It may be new to you as well. Carl Jung spoke about the tension of opposites, but what most people do not understand is how he came about this theory. It was during the Cold War, when his students were afraid that there would be a Third World War with the atomic bomb. When they asked him if he thought there would be a Third World War, this is when he said, "It depends on how many people can hold both the reality of the United States and the reality of the USSR. If enough people can hold both these opposites inside themselves, then a transcendent third possibility will have to emerge, and we will avoid war." Quite profound. This is exactly what happened. Peace prevailed. So I share this with you because these words, you know, they apply exactly to what's happening to us right now. And the divide is a different divide. But still, it's an ideological divide. It's a divide of consciousness. It's a divide of different way of looking at reality. Divide in many ways. And so I share this with you, and the invitation stands, as we talked about last time, to see how much we can hold of both realities inside us, holding the tension between these opposites. And I won't belabor that point because we talked about it a lot last time. So let's move on. The next share was from Kathleen. And I also love this one, so I really want to share it with you. She says, "I just wanted to thank you for the clear, compassionate way you addressed the issue of the rising polarities in our country and abroad. It is not an easy topic to discuss, as many claim the moral high ground on either side, the spiritual superiority, as it were." And then she talks about some of the research that she did. And then she continues, "That research helped me loosen my final hold on what I thought was true, or my particular party line. It came down to realizing that I didn't really know for certain what was going on, and couldn't claim to have a monopoly on the truth. Ultimately, though, that was only the first stepping point to standing in a different place altogether, to find that third point to which Spirit was calling me. Over the last few years, I've become much more grounded in the realization that I do not need to take a side. The deeper inner summons is to hold a third neutral point. It does not equate with not standing for anything. If pressed, I would say I'm standing with love. I'm standing with our underlying unity and choosing to hold that divine consciousness with and for both sides, since I am on the planet at this time. That's becoming a much more empowered place to be, and I don't feel the need to have to be in the know on the nitty-gritty levels. From my perspective, the most powerful thing we can each do, is be a beacon of higher consciousness that is no longer caught in the polarities. One spiritual teacher I know, Eugenia Oganova, speaks about the ascension staircase. She claims that as one progresses upward, one moves from the quote-unquote cause level the need to stand for a cause, which helps define oneself, to move to the neutral third point. The people who are at the cause level need to be there. They are at that place in their learning, and they needn't be anywhere else. But many of us now are called to no longer be there, but to move beyond that to a much larger perspective, as you have spoken about. So thank you so much, Brad. I'm not going to read all of it, but thank you so much. For many of us, it is our next step. And the last one I wanted to read to you is from Suzanne. Thank you so much for your comments on Sunday. I want to share my thoughts and reactions. What you were saying about there being a greater unknown influence is that directing our lives, What you were saying about there being a greater unknown influence that is directing our lives very much resonates with me. I have felt that for a long time, so appreciate someone coming out and making that statement. However, there is a part of me that wonders if this is a kind of conspiracy theory, saying that there are unseen, quote-unquote, others who are controlling us. It could also be said that perhaps I am pointing my finger once again outside myself and accusing someone else of trying to control me. Both of those statements are possible, but something in me rings true about a bigger entity trying to control us. During the visualization when you were describing the seesaw, I saw a large group of people sitting on one end of the seesaw and another large group of people sitting at the other end, both ends bowing the long plank, the fulcrum in the middle, close to snapping under the weight of both ends of the plank. But then I saw that the people on both ends started to recognize those on the other end of the plank, and they began to move towards the center, towards the fulcrum. You described us, the people on both sides, as being puppets, maneuvered by the unseen force. As the people moved closer to the fulcrum, I noticed that they all had scissors in their hands. As they arrived at the middle, they raised their scissors above their heads and cut the strings that were controlling them. The people, no longer held by the strings, fell into a heap. So what happened? I don't know. And I think that might be part of the point. We don't know, but we are willing to cut ourselves loose, quote unquote, cut ourselves loose and go into the unknown just to be away from this total control. Just a thought. I love that. I love that image. So thank you, Suzanne. I really appreciated your beautiful visual there. Something I think we can all hold on to. So I want to thank the three of you, and I also want to thank everybody who took the time to write and to share. I really, really appreciate the feedback. It does mean so much to me. And I just want to acknowledge that I really appreciate when anybody sends me information. I don't always have time to respond to everybody, but I do always like to hear what everybody feels is important. So thank you. And I've said this before, I'm definitely an advocate for doing research on both sides and examining all the, I say both, there's probably more than two sides, but examining all the various sides of the narrative. And I do that myself whenever I feel guided, not all the time, but I feel like it's really important to remember right now that if we're doing this, that the propaganda machine is really working overtime now. And so, so much of what we're hearing is so very skewed. So using our intuition and practicing discernment is really the key. And I guess more and more, I feel like the only thing that I can really rely on is my own intuition and discernment. And it's a fantastic practice. The gift of these times is that this is an amazing opportunity to develop our intuition and our discernment. We often talk about this on these calls. And so I know this is a reminder for many people, but, the most important practices are keeping an open mind and neither believing nor disbelieving and holding the tension between the two sides of the polarity and witnessing and all of those things that we always talk about. So The witness is critical, especially if you're choosing to attune to the media because of what's going on right now with the propaganda. So to be in your witness and to remember the middle way and the truth with a capital T. And the truth with the capital T, of course, is that we are neither side of a polarity. We are the pure awareness. We are the pure consciousness. We're a perceiver. And all of these dualities of the planet are passing through us. So we view all of that with detachment and a sense of curiosity. I think that's so important right now, to just be sort of innocent and curious and practice letting go of attachments, old ideas, attachments to emotions, letting all the emotions pass through us. And of course, it's about feeling them and not suppressing or denying them, but also letting them go and not holding on to them. And in this way, all the vicissitudes of the earth are plastic. They're being plastered everywhere, but they're also passing through us. And so we remain in our hearts. And that's how we find freedom. That's how we find the true liberation. And again, I know this is a reminder for most of you, but it's so easy right now to get sucked into one side of a polarity with this stuff. And we're being encouraged by the media and by our friends and our family, and essentially most of our culture is encouraging us to do that right now, to take sides and to get sucked into a polarity with this. And in fact, that noise has been deafening. And so it's an important time to remember to just monitor ourselves. And to learn to recognize when we're getting too charged, when we're getting too emotionally wrapped up to be able to maintain a witness. And especially right now, what I would say is it's vital to monitor our fear level and our anger level. Those supercharged emotions are just running rampant. And so you might attune to your body. You know, you might experience those things in your body. You might find if you're too immersed in this, if you're watching the news late at night right before bed, you might not sleep so well. And so if this kind of thing is happening to you, it's important to pull back. I know doing a news fast sometimes is really good. Practicing the self-care, of course, is vital. Meditating more. Doing all those things that we know that feed us and help us to hold a higher consciousness. Because that, if I could make one statement today, that holding a higher consciousness is maybe the most important thing we can do right now. Holding a higher consciousness. So tracking the nitty-gritty details of what's going on are not nearly as important as our consciousness. And I always trust if I'm guided to do a news fast that I'll receive anything I need to know about. Somehow it'll come to me. Spirit will get it to me through a friend or whatever. So I know sometimes it actually takes courage to do a news fast because we fear we're going to miss something. But really right now, holding the highest consciousness possible is the most important thing. Let's see. I'm just pausing because there's so many different directions we could go. So I just want to attune to what's happening here, to feel into this. Fear. I feel like we need to talk a bit about fear today. Fear being so contagious, you know, more contagious than any virus we can imagine. And fear prevents us from being in the heart. So anything that takes us out of the heart is so important to examine and let go of right now. So let me share, there's one other thing before we go into fear too much, to transmuting fear too much. There's one other thing I feel like I should share up front. Last month on the call, as much as I tried to be so clear and so neutral about things and about practicing the middle way, the other thing that happened after the call was that some people felt I had taken a side. So I just need to say up front and be really clear about this, that I have not taken a side in this. And I actually spoke about this on the November call as well. And what I voted for in November and what I continue to vote for is love. And I am practicing holding a middle way and holding space for this transcendent option to manifest, as Carl Jung talked about. And I know many, many people who are practicing that as well. And so just to be very clear, it doesn't mean that by doing that, we're in denial of what's going on in the 3D world. By doing a news fast doesn't mean you're being in denial of what's going on in the 3D world. I guess, and this is another one of the most important things I could share today, I guess, is I feel it's so important to recognize that what's happening on our planet is so far beyond politics. It's way, way, way beyond a candidate or a different candidate or a party or a different party and, you know, the right and the left and the conservative and the liberal and these polarities. That's all the old paradigm. It's just so much bigger than all of that. And so if we find ourselves supercharged and emotional around this stuff, it's a fantastic time to just pause, just stop, just practice witnessing and remember the bigger picture. There's so much more going on than what we're being shown right in front of us on the small screen. And I guess that's really the emphasis, I feel like, of the call today. So I want to repeat that, what I just said. And it's recognizing both sides are serving the same master. They're serving a broken system. And on the December call, I referred to the man behind the curtain, like in The Wizard of Oz. And that man behind the curtain is the broken system. It's an old system. It's based in polarity. It's a system of separation, and it's falling apart. And it's all about power and manipulation and domination and control. And we're watching that system crumble before our very eyes. So it's good not to be immersed in that polarity and to rely on a political leader or a party or any kind of outside of authority as a solution to anything. And this, you know, we've often talked about the bumpy ride that we're in for here, and it's not over by any means. You know, we're really just at the beginning of something. We're at the beginning of massive, massive change on the planet in the 3D reality. It's all getting shaken up. And that old system is going to fall apart. And that, you know, that's a good thing. It might feel bad and it might look ugly, but it's good because this is what we've been praying for. You know, it's going to open up the space for this third option to manifest. And that's what Leslie for 30 years has been calling the new paradigm of the heart. And like I said, I know it doesn't look good and doesn't feel good right now, but it really is a good thing. It really is. There's so many positive things happening on the inner planes to help us birth this new reality of the heart. So let's talk a little bit about shadow. I just would like to say a few words about that. I know this will be a reminder for many people, but it's good. And for some people, this might be new. So Shadow is a term that Carl Jung came up with, and it just means the unconscious side. That's all it means, what's hidden. It doesn't mean anything, you know, evil or necessarily dark. It's more just hidden. It's more the unconscious. And the shadow is up big time right now. What's playing out in the world is an opportunity for us to see and process the collective shadow and our own personal shadow. So that's why I want to talk about the shadow a little bit. It's so easy right now to judge and blame. And like I said, we're being encouraged to do that all the time. And most people are always looking outside to see whose fault all this stuff is. And the highest path, you know, if you're on the journey of self-discovery, the highest path would be, instead of judging or projecting at any one person or group, is to own and face our own shadow. And that goes to the very heart of all of this. And in order to live in love, in order to live in a more permanent state of love, let's say, and to manifest a world of love, which we all want, the first step is practicing this self-inquiry. So instead of pointing the finger, we go inward instead, and we ask, you know, what is this person or what is this situation showing me about myself? What's my unconscious shadow piece here to look at? And the key to this is the fear. It's the fear of looking at our shadow side. That's what keeps it in place. And it's natural. It's a very natural response to have fear of the shadow side, fear of looking at our own unconscious. And that's the most normal thing in the world. It's a very rare person who chooses to practice this self-inquiry, because it takes a lot of courage. One of the hardest things in the world is to look in the mirror. And I love quoting Nelson Mandela about this. You've probably heard me say this many times, so forgive me. But he said that courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the ability to face the fear and to take action anyway, despite the fear. So it's literally about conquering fear. And courage, of course, as we all know, is a heart state, because the root core in Latin means heart. And so it's only when we've done this, it's only when we're clear of the fear that we can fully experience our hearts and fully experience uniting with spirit. And it's when our natural state of oneness with the divine unfolds is beyond the fear. So the courageous person is the one who does not indulge in the suppression of shadow or denial or avoidance of shadow. Excuse me. And the reward we get from that is that we receive the light. The ability to shine the light on the shadow. And that's what dissolves the shadow. It's what helps us to release the fear. How many times have we had this boogeyman chasing us most of our lives? And then when we get the courage, or when we're forced to turn and face it, it's like nothing. It's like Leslie said, it's like a little fart. Like we thought it was this giant thunderclap, and it turns out to be a little fart, or like a little wrinkled balloon. So so we discover in those moments that the fear is the boundary. The fear is the block to becoming one with spirit. And so if, again, this is a reminder for so many of you, so I'm not going to dwell on it anymore, but if it's new to you, or if you're, maybe if you've been on a path for a while and you're wondering how you can recognize when you're in a shadow process, there are some signs you can look for. So So here's a question that I'd like to ask everybody. Whether you're new to this work or whether you've been doing the shadow work for a long time, this question is for you. Do you know what the number one symptom of shadow is? I wonder how many of you said denial. Denial being the number one symptom of shadow. And it reminds me of a bumper sticker I saw once that said, denial is not a river in Egypt. anyway, shadow humor. So here's another question. What is the second symptom of shadow? Do you know what is the second symptom of shadow? It's anger. So if you find yourself in denial or anger about anything, that is the place to practice witnessing and to start exploring and to do your self-inquiry practice. And again, it's important to have a sense of curiosity about it, you know, to kind of be curious about what is that? Why am I in denial about this? Or why am I angry about this? And it helps make it not such a scary thing when we can be curious about it, you know, to approach that practice with some sense of neutrality and more of an open mind. So I think it's important for all of us right now to recognize what we're experiencing with these recent events that are unfolding. And we're in the midst of this massive collective shift, bigger than ever before. We're at the beginning of it. And we are in a process of this big piece of cultural shadow being revealed to us. And so more is going to continue to be revealed. And when cultural shadow gets revealed, it's not easy, but it's vital. This time where we have cultural shadow getting revealed, it's essential for our growth as a collective and as individuals. And what happens is eventually we look back on that and we realize that it really wasn't as bad or as scary as we thought. It's just bad and scary in the moment. And if you look at examples, you know, back in history, if you look at back a few decades, like back to the 50s and 60s, some of the examples of cultural shadow that came at that time were things like alcoholism. You know, it was such a taboo subject back then, but now we look at that and we realize, well, wow, okay, not such a big deal. That, I mean, it's not good, but it's like, how far have we come to be able to acknowledge alcoholism and how it's something we can just talk about now without so much fear? And another example is homosexuality. You know, that was a massive taboo for decades and it became more normalized. And also one of the biggest ones is the sexual abuse of women. And, you know, we've since discovered that a huge percentage of women had been sexually abused by a family member or a friend close to the family. And, you know, and that's actually a cultural shadow that's still continuing to be revealed in even bigger ways, like more recently with the Me Too movement. But it started back, you know, in the 70s, I guess, somewhere around there. So, you know, for decades, all of these things were such big elephants in the room that nobody would talk about. Nobody wanted to own them. And now they can all be seen as a bunch of sacred cows, you know, that we've just undone them and we're continuing to undo them. So I guess it's important to acknowledge that cultural events happen in order to uncover the shadows. And then they can be worked with. But as long as we're in denial, they stay in the shadow and they prevent us from knowing ourselves, the truth of who we are. And so the next decade is going to reveal its own cultural shadow. And it might be the biggest shadow we've ever known. You know, so it's important to look at what's happening right now with that in mind, that we'll get through it. And it may not be pretty and it may not be easy, but to recognize that culturally we slumber, you know, until we're ready to wake up to the shadow. And I remember Leslie said so long ago, there's going to come a day where a lot of teachers are needed. And I, she said, I know that my role in life is to train a bunch of teachers in this shadow processing work, because one day you're going to be needed. And I have a very strong feeling that that time is right now. Because when this massive cultural shadow hits us in the face, and it's going to continue to be hitting us in the face for a while to come, we're going to need to help people. You know, we're going to need to be there. Those of us who know this work, we're going to need to be there to hold people's hands and to help others through it. And I guess I want to say I'm also really aware of the disillusionment of a lot of people. So many of us, we're disillusioned with the system, with the politics, with our leaders, with so much of our world. And I think it's important to recognize that it's meant to be this way, because, you know, those old systems have to be shaken up. And this is our opportunity to process what comes up for us around all of this, the disillusionment and the fear and all of it. And it's our opportunity to examine it and to clear the shadow and to learn to do all of this without the fear. We don't need to have the fear to do this work. We can let that go. So I want to, there's a little bit more I want to say, not too much more, but I want to speak a little bit about transmuting fear. And on the last call in December, we took a look at the possibility of what we call the puppet master controlling both sides of the polarity. And I think to take it another step further this month, another way to look at it is to see the puppet master within each of us. And to see that that inner puppet master is always controlling our choice of two things. And it's either fear or it's love. And so when our consciousness is aligned with fear, then we're controlled by fear. And we know that people who seek power use fear to control. So when we become fearless, then we can live beyond the effects of that. And we can be free from, you know, both what appears to be the outside influence as well as from within us. And when we live fearlessly, we just don't have the correspondence with that vibration of fear. So transmuting the fear is the key to all of this. And until we become fearless, we're living in bondage. Excuse me. It doesn't matter where we live and how free the place might seem where we live, because if we're in fear, we're in bondage. And it's not until we become fearless that we're completely free on all levels. It doesn't matter where you live, what's happening in the outside world. That's when you're free, if you're not corresponding to that. And so I think part of what's happening right now culturally is that we're struggling with the old system. We're struggling with the old ways of life, the old structures, the old habits, the old systems we created that formed our culture. And we're feeling the massive constrictions of those old forms. And so we're doing a lot of pushing and pulling against that. A lot of chafing is happening. And those old forms are restraining us, and they're They're making us feel incredibly uncomfortable. But on the, there's another part of it. On the other hand, they're also very familiar. And so there's this feeling, this sense of safety within that familiarity. And so we're living in this time that as these forms dissolve, our fears are getting provoked. And, you know, we don't feel safe when there's massive change happening. So this is what's so challenging, I think, for a lot of us. We get caught up in that push-pull, and we forget to witness. We forget who we are, and we forget what's fear, we forget what's truth. It's like, we're just in this place of feeling very lost. And the most important thing is to remember to come back to the truth, to keep coming back again and again and again, to remember who we are, and to remember, because we forget. So witnessing and, putting those silly little sticky notes up around the house, reminding us to witness, to remember to come back to who we are, which is the love. That's who we truly are. Okay, I've spoken a lot. I want to leave you with one last thing before we go to the questions and answers and sharing. There's a really simple practice for transmuting fear that I'd like to leave you with. And we can all be doing this. Doesn't matter if you've been on the path a long time or you're new, but we can all be doing this during the challenging times, especially if you're finding that you're in the mix, if you're stuck in fear or confusion or anger or any of these states, especially the fear, this is a great exercise. So between now and the next call, when you wake up in the morning, first thing, I invite you to ask, who needs my love today? Who needs my love today? And you can let the answer just arise from inspiration first thing in the morning. It might be, a family member comes to mind, or maybe it's an old friend, maybe it's yourself, or maybe it's a group of people, or maybe it's a situation that needs love. But this gives us an opportunity to start our day with a focus for loving. And when we do this every day, day in, day out, day after day, we start to accumulate a consciousness of love. And as we practice that over time, we begin to be able to be in love without needing to have a person or a situation to direct our love to. But in the beginning, it's really helpful to have something to focus love on to help open the heart. And so when we give love, we're literally in the state of transmuting fear. And it's transmuting fear both for ourselves and also for the ones that we're giving the love to. So I hope that helps. I hope that's a helpful practice for all of us in these challenging times, and I offer it with love. So I'm just going to take a sip of water for a sec, excuse me. And Barbara, I'm just wondering, Barbara, if you, I sent you an email with there were three questions this week. And I wonder if you got that. I sent it to you a little bit late, so you may not have gotten it.
I have it right here, Brad.
All right.
Okay. So Libby says, my beloved mom has just passed, and due to COVID, I could not be with her. The pain and devastation is immense, not only because I lost the closest person in the world to me, but also because of the circumstances due to COVID. At the same time, my husband is ill in the hospital. I wonder if you could please speak to this situation that many of us have experienced and are experiencing at this time. Perhaps there is a universal question to be asked. How do we, quote, accept this situation, being kept from our loved ones, and how this affects our grieving and our connection to our loved one's soul when we are not with them as they pass?
Well, first of all, Libby, I'm so sorry to hear about what you're going through. And I send you deep condolences. And I, as you share this, I feel your pain and I feel your grief. And I can only imagine what you must be going through right now. So please know that I'm going to be keeping you in my prayers, and your family and your mom and your husband and everybody. And I know it just doesn't seem fair, does it? I mean, it doesn't feel right, doesn't feel okay to not be able to be with our loved ones as they pass, and to have so much happening all at once, you know, not just the traumas that we're subjected to in the world right now, but also the traumas in our own personal lives with the illness. So it may be the most challenging time of our lives. And, you know, this is just such a hard time for everybody. And I think your sharing speaks volumes, because even though, you know, even if many of us haven't had that experience, I know many have. And so I hardly know what to say, you know, because I can't imagine the pain you're going through, but I just want you to know that we're with you, and we're here. There's a group of over 50 people on the call now, and usually there are a couple of hundred or more that listen to these calls. So I know that all of us will be holding you and your family, and we extend that to anybody who's been going through something like this. So, you know, I know all of us know of people who've lost loved ones in this situation, and in not such nice circumstances. So God bless us all. And just, you know, Libby, to answer your question about, you know, how do we accept this and how it affects our grieving? You know, all I can say is it's just important to feel all of it, to allow all of it. You know, to just be with all of this, the unfairness, the grief, the deep grief, the loss and the pain and the sadness and the anger and whatever else you're feeling, you know, all of it, just be with it and allow it. Give your heart its due. Allow your heart to feel what it needs to feel, and know that whatever it is, that's exactly what you need to be doing. Feeling the emotions, allowing them to pass through. And, you know, as much as you possibly can, you be in your witness with it, and you remember that you aren't the emotions. You know, you are the perceiver, and those emotions are passing through you, as we spoken about already. You know, you're the pure awareness, you are the soul, and this life and these emotions are ephemeral. This too shall pass. So you also, there was more you said, and you asked about how this affects our connection to our loved one's soul when we're not with them as they pass. And again, I know, you know, that must be incredibly painful and difficult for our loved ones to have that happen. And just as it is for us, for all of us, to watch it happen. And it does not feel okay that it is that way right now. And, you know, and yet at the same time, I also know the truth, the spiritual truth, that, you know, there are no accidents in life. And it's important to remember that we all choose our experiences at a soul level, especially our death. So at some level of our being, You know, we know what we're doing. And so I guess I would say to you, as hard as this might be to hear, that at some level your mother knew that her passing would look that way. And you know, for reasons that we can't even fathom, she needed that experience of not being able to have you close to her when she died. And, you know, as hard as that is, I'm sure we can trust that there's some divine perfection in whatever it was her soul chose, and you know, some lesson in that for her, some experience that she had to have. And I can't begin to guess what that might be. Maybe you know. And also, you know, certainly you're part of the experience too. So she didn't choose that just for herself, because you're involved. And so partly this is for you too. You know, this is some kind of gift that her soul has given you. And I know in the immediate moment, it just, there's so much pain that we can't see the gift in it. You know, that comes later. But when you feel ready to, you know, when you feel a little bit beyond the the trauma of it, and you're ready to step into a place of learning from it, you know, and get into the witness a little bit more, you can take a look at that and to see what it is that she's given you, so that you can experience what you need. And who knows what that is? I don't know. Only you'll be able to tell what that is. And maybe, you know, maybe you'll be able to process a deeper level of grief through yourself. Maybe that's what part of this is about. Maybe you're going to be able to clear a deeper level of emotions around unfairness, you know, around earth, the whole earth feeling unfair. And there are all kinds of things that could be. I don't know. You'll have to look into it yourself. But I just also, it feels like there's one more important thing to say, and that is that this situation did not do any harm to your mother's soul. She is a spark of the infinite. That's who she is. She was not that body. And so nothing can damage that spark of the infinite. That pure light of the soul cannot be damaged. So she is fine. And in fact, she's more than fine. She's very happy to be free of the body. And really, it's just that it's so difficult for you, you know, and for everyone else that's left behind, because we're the ones that have to grieve the loss of someone that we loved so much. And I think it's one of the hardest things we can face as a human being, to watch somebody we love suffer. You know, I've been through that myself a lot, and it's just excruciating. So the thought that you had to watch your mother suffer by dying alone and you couldn't help her, I can only imagine what you went through, Libby, and how devastated that must be and must have been for you. So I'm so sorry again that you had to go through it. And I hope you have the support of friends and family, and I hope you're able to grieve well, you know, to let your mother, to let that loss of your mother pass through you, and also to celebrate her life well too, you know, to know, I know you well enough to know that you celebrated your father's life, and I know that you'll be able to celebrate your mother's life too. So bless you, and we're all sending you love and holding you and wishing you well. I hope that helps.
Yes, dear Libby, our hearts and our prayers are with you. And it is reminding me of several teachings that Leslie has gifted us with. And the first one is the very first time that I sat with Leslie, there was a lovely woman who had just lost her husband. And she was in the group with us in the darshan, and Leslie was sharing with all of us the importance of letting our hearts break open in the pain of the loss, and to not shut our heart down. So I wanted to share that with you first, dear Libby. And if you're needing a witness as you go through these deep emotions, please know that we are here for you. And the other teaching that I am reminded of is the key to the root chakra, which is I accept the death of the physical body and the eternality of the soul. And we are immortal. And even though the physical body is no longer, we need to acknowledge the immortality of the soul. And the other piece that I'd like to share is when Leslie went through the passing of her father, she did it with all of us present as witness. And she talked about her relationship with her father on the physical. And then she shared with us, because when someone passes that is related to us, the veils are very thin, if not in total dissolution. And she shared with us the magnificence of her father's soul and what she saw him as in the physical, as opposed to who he truly was in the soul space. And so I share that with you, dearest Libby. And we are here for you.
Thank you, Barbara. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so David says, I've been pondering this quote from Rumi for the last few weeks. If you have time, it would be awesome to have you reflect on it with me or the group. Quote, there is a secret gift given only to those who hurt so hard they cannot hope. If the hopers knew, they would feel slighted. That's a quote by Rumi. I'll say it again. There is a secret gift given only to those who hurt so hard they cannot hope. If the hopers knew, they would feel slighted.
Yeah, such a powerful, short little quote from Rumi, and, you know, very apropos of our times. So many people are feeling this sense of hopelessness and despair and meaninglessness. And, you know, we feel it about the state of the earth and the environment and animals and politics and the virus and all of the things that are not working anymore on the planet. And so the way I look at this is that I feel like what Rumi is saying is that when you go through that depth of the shadow and you go deep down into that dark night of the soul where you feel like there's no hope left, and you feel the grief and the loss and whatever else is down there, so it's so extreme that you feel lost. And what happens in that moment is that you're actually in an opportunity, and you're in a place where you can clear out that pain and that shadow. And it's what Leslie called the downward spiral. Human consciousness is this spiral of emotions, and the negative emotions are the downward spiral. This is the, you know, it's very apropos because that's the shadow clearing work that we've been talking about today. Pardon me. And it's something that takes a lot of courage and a lot of tenacity to get through. But when you do it, the secret gift, you know, that Rumi is talking about is that you're given the ability to ascend to the highest heights as well. And that's a spiritual truth. It's that we can only go as high as we're willing to go low. So, you know, when we grieve more deeply than ever before, that's when we can experience more joy than ever before, too. And David, I know that you've been through a really challenging time, and I kind of feel like you're the one who can talk about this really well. So if you're on the call, David, would you mind raising your hand? And Barbara, would you mind please unmuting David? If you'd like to share a few words with us, David, about this, I'd love to hear from you. I'm sure
it's
we all
star two to raise your hand, David, if you're on the call. Okay, David is here.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, David. You're unmuted.
Hey, David. Welcome.
Hey, Brad. Hey, everyone around the world.
Can you
share
with us?
Yeah.
I'd love
to
hear
a little bit. And for those who don't know me, I've been sort of a global strategy consultant for good causes, you know, National Geographic to save the oceans and all kinds of White House. And so I've been a fighter against the shadow. And spent my life and career doing that. And there got to be a point, and it really started about a decade ago, where I sort of entered the dark night of the soul, and it was Leslie's work around the downward spiral. I actually cut those two pages out of the book, the downward spiral and the upward spiral, and just contemplated them constantly and let myself sort of dive headfirst into it and go through all the levels. And on one particular occasion, I was able to hold what I felt was just like tragic grief and vicious hatred for self and others and unbelievable terror and just heartbreaking anguish all at once. And that was 2 years ago, and I trusted Leslie's map and used her map to sort of navigate that. And there was a point at which some of you have heard who know me, Leslie Tipperson actually saved my life, because I was going through this crazy juxtaposition of feeling golden light above my head and like falling to the depths of despair. And without her map, I don't think I would have made it through. And at some point I wrote her and Brad, and she called me and said, "Lie down, you know, at your altar." And I did, and she talked me through it and was able to feel what was going on. And she was like, "Goodness, David, you know, you're kind of addicted to the golden light, you know, the sort of transcendent state. And then when you fall from it, you feel like a complete and utter failure." And I was like, "Yeah, that's right." But I had never heard it explained in that way. And she said, "As you move forward, you've got to let go of the, you know, the ecstasy of the golden light in order to move through this passage. And that when you do that, you will feel the light in a different way." And she was right. I don't have that same kind of exalted light feeling, but the light is cleaner and clearer. And I don't think I would be here if she hadn't reached out to me in that way. Thank you, Leslie. And to the quotation itself, "It's a secret gift given to those who hurt so hard, they cannot hope. Hope seems shallow at a certain point, for some of us at least, in the journey." And so I was like, "Well, what's the secret gift?" And I guess what I would say is it's pretty much everything Brad has been talking about. It's a secret gift of being seeing that all of this is one, all of it's divine, with all of its madness and craziness and polarization. It is the recognition that this is, in fact, the way the divine has chosen or is choosing to wake up, wake us up, and that the shadow and the shadow work in ways that are far beyond my pay grade to explain is part of the awakening process for some of us, at least. And Rumi also famously said, the ruined heart is the doorway to God. And I was like, the ruined heart? Wait a minute. The troubled heart, yes, you know, but the ruined heart? So I have felt, you know, in the last couple of years, especially in this crisis on the earth and inside me and the people that I know close around me, you know, I do a lot of work in particular around women and girls, empowerment and, you know, sex trafficking and stuff like that. And I could feel my natural empathic self being sucked into kind of a darker version of this. I couldn't put a spiritual overlay or bypass on it. It just hurt so hard to be up close and personal to all that. But then one of the gifts was, and this was astonishing to me because I'm pretty ferocious. The day I started loving Donald Trump, about 2 years ago, was the day that I knew that I did. It was amazing because I was like, goal of life is for good to win out over evil. You know? And therefore, you know, you're the enemy. In psychology, they call that enemy formation. So
David,
I made an enemy.
Let me interrupt. David, let me interrupt you for a second.
Yeah.
There are some things that I'm having trouble hearing you. If you could just speak up just a little bit. I think we missed some of the last few sentences that you shared. Sorry.
Well, is that better?
Yeah, that's better. Thank you.
Okay. I have my headphones on, but what did you hear?
There you go. That's
right.
You were saying when you learned to love Donald Trump, and then kind of there was I heard some of it, but not all of it.
Well, I'll repeat. I mean, I could see that I was creating what the psychologists would say enemy formation. You know, with a sort
enemy
of righteous
formation.
Yeah, enemy formation. And that's polarization. And I realized that whatever the facts of right or wrong are, that myself creating an enemy out of anybody was not serving the higher evolution of the world. And I started to look at him and others like him with a kind of a, God damn, it must be so hard, you know, to be where you are. There was just a compassion, you know, just, which means in Buddhism to suffer with. And so one of the gifts for me was just to get out of that polarization and to, you know, stop demonizing others. And that, for me, has been a huge gift. And that's a lot to say, and I'll stop there.
Oh, well, beautiful. Thank you, David. I really appreciate you bringing this up, and I really appreciate your sharing with us today. Thank you. I honor you. I honor you for this journey you've walked. I know the details, and I know that it's been very, very difficult. So I really honor your courage. I honor your tenacity, and you're the slayer of shadow, my friend. Congratulations.
Thank you, David. And that's the true acknowledgement of being here to feel our feelings fully. What a journey. Thank you. There's a question from Jane. I have a question for you as I sit in confusion. I am witnessing a divide between the religious/spiritual people, equivalent to that of the Republicans versus the Democrats. We know about the political divide, so I won't belabor the point. However, when it comes to the religious/spiritual realm, please let me explain. Being at the fulcrum, I have religious friends, many who are steeped in the Bible. I also have deeply spiritual friends who think and believe along the lines of Corelight. The divide has to do with where humankind is going from here. The religious folks are convinced that this is the end of the world as we know it. They justify their beliefs by saying, quote, just read Revelations. The spiritual peeps see us transitioning into the new paradigm of the heart. Quite a contrast. Following ancient yogis and what I've heard you say, quote, not to be attracted or repulsed, not to believe or disbelieve. Following your advice, we just wait and see what happens. How do you know the new paradigm of the heart is the truth? I know many masters refer to it and have seen it coming for years. However, I also can't discount the Bible and its legitimacy.
Thank you, Jane. Wow. Very apropos of this call today, I would say. There are many things I could say. First, I feel like it's important to say that people see from the level where their consciousness is. So we draw to us that which we resonate with. So it's like, you know, how people gravitate to the type of news that suits their beliefs. So it's the same with this. So religious people will see the events unfolding as biblical, and political people would see it as political. And somebody who's cynical might just see that it's, you know, the worst thing unfolding and just say, I told you so, or something like that. And people who want to deny shadow, they'll just see the positive. And so everybody's got their own slant on what's happening right now. And I don't know about you, but I just find this amazing. This is one of the most amazing things of all of these times, is that there's one set of facts, there's one set of events, and yet there's so many different ways of looking at this, so many different viewpoints. And I think it's important to recognize that the new paradigm of the heart does not mean that one day we're going to all wake up and suddenly we're in this, you know, heavenly world where everything's been sorted out and we're all in a bliss state and holding hands in a circle and singing Kumbaya. You know, I don't think that's what it's going to look like. I spoke a little bit earlier about, I feel like, you know, we're at the beginning of some massive change in our world. And it's going to be a very bumpy ride for a while. And the old systems are really getting shaken up, and they're going to continue to dissolve. And so you said that your quote unquote religious friends are saying that, I think the words were that this is the end of the world as we know it. And I actually believe that's true. I mean, it is the end of the world as we know it, but that can be interpreted in many ways. And I don't think anybody really knows exactly what that's going to look like in the physical reality. I mean, we know it's going to be massive change, but who knows what that's going to look like? So I know when people think of the Book of Revelations, they think of really scary stuff. They think of, apocalypse. And my guess is that's probably what your friends are referring to. I'm not sure. But, who knows if that kind of thing is going to play out or not? We don't really know. And we can't know, you know, because it hasn't happened yet. So I know that the future is a positive one, because I know that that's the destiny for human evolution, and that's where we're being guided by the benevolent beings who guide the planet, and that we are moving into this new paradigm of the heart. That is a reality. But I feel like it's important to name something else here about it, and that is the ego works in polarity. So I think what we want to be sure that we're not doing is making a polarity out of these two scenarios. You know, it's either going to be a biblical event, like something out of Revelations, where there's, you know, a lake of fire and evil people are being thrown into it, and there's the mark of the beast and all that stuff. Or, you know, it's going to be the holding hands in a circle and singing Kumbaya in a new paradigm of the heart. I think you know, seeing it that way would be an old paradigm way to look at it, because it's all about polarization. So I guess all I can really comment on is, you know, my own experience of living in the heart and my own beliefs about this. And like I said, there's so much we could say, but maybe the easiest thing would be to say that the new paradigm of the heart is what lives inside us. It's a state of consciousness. And it already exists. We don't have to wait for it to manifest sometime in the future. We can live the new paradigm of the heart right now. And all we have to do that is to practice kindness as much as we possibly can, and to be our own authentic self as much as we possibly can. And I know, Jane, I know you took the course, the recent course, the New Paradigm of the Heart course, about transcending victim-tyrant consciousness. So I know you know what this means. And, you know, in the old paradigm, the heart opens and closes like a valve with positive and negative stimuli from the outside world. And that triggers us all the time to open and close the heart. And with the negative stimuli, the heart closes, and with the positive, it opens. And, you know, someone tells us they hate us, or we lose something important to us, and the heart closes, and we feel like a victim. Or somebody tells us they love us, or, you know, we get a raise, or we find a sexy new mate, or something happens, and our hearts open. And that's the old paradigm. And in the new paradigm, the heart remains open all the time. And we learn to live in what could be called an objectless state of love. And that means we don't need a person or a thing to love. We know that love is a state of being. It's not necessarily something we do, but it's who we are. We realize that we're made of love. We literally are on a journey of becoming love. And we anchor that love, and we anchor the light in whatever way we choose to, as much as we possibly can. So I guess I would say that the new paradigm of the heart is really about living in love. And there's not a lot more we can know about that, about what it's going to look like, but it's a state of consciousness within us that we hold, and it means that we've gone beyond the victim tyrant consciousness. I guess it's also important to say what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that in the process of transformation between the one paradigm and the next, that the outer events are not going to get turbulent. There's definitely going to be some shaking up happening, and the world is definitely going to go through massive change. But I feel like, you know, to the extent to which we can each be living in a state of love, we're not only going to mitigate the challenges that are coming, but we're also going to find that we can respond to whatever happens from this place of love and not from fear. And we'll draw to us the people and the events that mirror to us whatever consciousness we're holding, and we'll be able to respond appropriately from that place. So I think the point is that, you know, living in a state of love all the time doesn't mean that we don't have bad things happening in the world. And living in a state of love all the time, it doesn't mean, like, for example, that we never get angry, or we don't have challenging emotions pass through us, like grief, for example, like we're talking about today. And let's just take one example here, because I know this is very esoteric. So anger, as an example here, sometimes anger is a really appropriate emotion. If somebody we love is threatened, then we're going to defend that person. It's like the lioness. You know, I always like to use the lioness as a metaphor for this new paradigm of the heart, because the lioness will stop at nothing to protect her cubs out of love. She'll even face her own death she'll fight to the death to protect her club, her cubs. And so, so if somebody tries to force you to do something that you know is not right for you, or they try to threaten somebody you love, you're going to get angry. And you're going to need to, you know, stand up and say no and draw a boundary of some kind. So I give this example because I feel like we always, I'm not saying you're doing this, Jane, at all. Please believe me. I'm just saying that this is something that humans do, that we tend to think that love is this soft and fuzzy thing. And, you know, I would think that when somebody hears the words, the new paradigm of the heart, they're going to project onto that this kind of soft, fuzzy, cuddly thing. But love can also be the sword as well as the soft and fuzzy. And so my own personal belief about this situation you're describing is that I don't see that there has to be a big contrast in how things outpicture in the world between these two scenarios you're describing. You know, it's going to be what it's going to be, and we're all going to be responding to these events from wherever we're at in our consciousness. And, you know, we're going to draw to us the people and the experiences and all of that that we need according to our soul's plan. So what's it going to look like? Who knows? But what I do know is this, and I think I'm going to end on this note. What I do know is that we can live this new paradigm of the heart right now. We do not have to wait. We can practice anchoring the love and anchoring the light as much as possible in every moment. We can practice all the things we know to do that Leslie's taught us, that we've learned from other teachers and so forth over the years from our spiritual practice of how to keep the heart open, how to grow in love, how to become love, and how to anchor that love in the world in practical ways. That is the new paradigm of the heart. And the more of us that can do that, the more we're going to see it manifesting in the outer world. And the quicker we'll get through this transition phase, and the easier it will be. You know, the more we'll mitigate the challenges that we have to face, and we'll shorten the time. So I feel like, again, to come back to something we said earlier, you know, the best thing we can possibly do right now is to hold a very high consciousness. And specifically, I would say it's this choosing love over fear. It's witnessing those times that we're in the fear. And fear is contagious, you know. So when there are people around us or there's a group in fear, we'll feel it anyway, and sometimes it's hard to know if it's ours or not. We just feel it and we think it's ours, but actually we might be feeling the fear of other people or the collective. So really to practice this witnessing and letting go of fear, all the things we've talked about on the call today, and to practice anchoring love, choosing love in whatever way we know how. And that is the new paradigm of the heart that's coming. And, you know, whether there's also the biblical stuff too, we're yet to be shown. And we'll, you know, we'll deal with that when it comes, if it comes. So I hope that helps, Jane. Thank you for your question. It was a good share, a good question. Barbara, is there anything that you'd like to share about that?
I would love to. Thank you for asking, Brad. And thank you for the question, Jane. It was a great, great question. And what arises for me is, and I have been contemplating this for a while, and what does it mean to be in the middle way of it? I heard what you were saying, Brad, and I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying, to choose love over fear. And in the middle way of it, sometimes it might feel like it could be a tricky or a confusing state. Do we feel? Do we not feel? And my sense is that this is a time of truly strengthening the witness and allowing all of our feelings. All is welcome here. by allowing all of our feelings, it makes the unconscious conscious. And if we're choosing to be choosing love and not getting into the deepest, darkest recesses of the shadow, we could come into a state of denial. And so what might feel like love might also be confused with denial. So by strengthening the witness and letting all parts arise, letting all parts know that they're welcome, and we can do it in kindness and with ourselves and with each other and without judgment. The middle way doesn't deny feelings or doesn't say, you'll get over it. I got over it and you can get over it too. We need more compassion, not less. And if anger is arising in ourselves or someone else, that we need to be in witness with them and ask them, what is it that causes you to be so angry? We're needing to find a way to come together. And nonviolent communication is what we are needing to learn right now. You know, it's interesting as we look at this and look at all that is being mirrored to us, what comes is hostile takeover and inside job. And we need to take a look at that and look within ourselves and see, where is the puppet master? Where is the hostile takeover? Where is the inside job? And do it with love and compassion. And the squares, I feel, the square processing is more important now than ever. The gift of the squares is for us to be able to uncover the unconscious. And when we do it in community, it's even more powerful for us to come into and allow our hearts to break wide open. So I thank you, Jane, for that question. And I am excited about where these new beginnings are going to take us.
Well, thank you, Barbara. And we're excited for your new beginnings. And we wish you so much love and so many blessings on this big new step for you of moving into your teachership in a deeper way. So wonderful new beginning for you here. I love you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brad. And I know that Core Light is also entering into new beginnings as well. And I just wish all the best for you and for Core Light. My heart and my love are always, always, always with you.
Thank you, Barbara. All right.
I see there's a comment on the Q&A. Don't know if you want to get into that, Brad, or if you just would like to wrap up.
Well, we don't have much time left, but let's just do this one, and let's see how it goes, okay?
Okay. This comes from Jennifer, and she says, "Hello, beautiful souls. I'm so appreciative of the space you are holding. I want, first of all, to say that I have been doing some deep work with numerous white hat organizations in the past few weeks, and all I can say is this. There is, in capital letters, so much to be capital hopeful about. And although some chaos will certainly occur in the coming days, the capital light waiting for us all is capital huge. And it is important to stay in big, capital, bold, bright energies during this time. I am sending you all so many good vibrations and soul hugs. I am wondering, do Brad or Leslie have any insight on what is required from their perspective that will support this time of great transition? Could we all tune into that to amplify the impact we all might create together?" I think that's a great way to complete the call, Brad.
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh, Jennifer, thank you so much. That's a really hopeful note to end on, since we dove down into the shadow today and talked about fear and the negative a lot. This is a wonderful note to end on. And, you know, I feel like we kind of addressed what you're asking in the call today. The things that we can do are to anchor the love in any way we know how. You know, the simple practices of love and kindness, and not buying into the fear, you know, and practicing the witnessing, neither believing nor disbelieving, holding the tension between the two sides of the polarity, all the things, keeping an open mind, being curious and innocent about it. You know, we these are the things we know to do. And yeah, and I suppose what we could do, just to add this, is that I invite you all for the next, let's say, till from now to the next call, to join in a meditation at sunrise or at sunset in your time zone, and to tune in to this field that we are creating here as a community. And it's a beautiful big field of light. Leslie used to call it long ago Big Mama. Her guides told her. She talked about it at a retreat once, this field of light that surrounds us. And her guide said, it's called Big Mama. And we all laughed hysterically about that. But what she said is that we can always tap into it. We can always draw. It's like a bank account that we can take a withdrawal from, you know, when we need some light. And we can also, in meditation or when we're feeling in a high consciousness, we can consciously add our light to the cosmic bank account called Big Mama. And this is a field that literally surrounds the earth, she said, and it's something that we help create and we help anchor as a community at Core Light. So I invite all of you to participate in a rolling rolling meditation around the world for the next month until we meet again at sunrise or sunset in your time zone. And then we will have this sweeping meditation and an opportunity to anchor the love from that field in our bodies and in the earth. And we dedicate this event, I guess, that we're going to be participating in. We dedicate this to the triumph of the light in whatever way that looks, and the triumph of the new paradigm of the heart within each of us and in the world, whatever that is to look like. So, on that note, I think we can end, and I'm deeply, deeply grateful to all of you for showing up. And once again, Barbara, thank you so much for your loving, impeccable hosting, as always, and for all your love and service over so many years. And this is not farewell, as we said. This is just well-wishing for your new next step, and we hold you in our hearts. So let's end. I'd like to take a couple of minutes to end with a little prayer and meditation. So I invite you now to close your eyes and take a few long, slow, deep breaths. And we'll just be brief here because I know we've run out of time. So deeply relax and let go. If we've stirred up the energy and the emotion, you can just breathe light in and release those emotions with the exhale. We call on the Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, the Self that we all are, spark of infinity that we all are. We give thanks for this time that we shared together today. As we come to a close of our sacred circle for today, we recognize that this field called Big Mama surrounds us and surrounds the earth. And we contribute our light to this field, and we also draw on it to anchor it into our bodies and into the earth with this commitment, with this intention to manifest the new paradigm of the heart within us, where our hearts remain open more and more all the time, where we live in the witness which is essentially unity consciousness. We live in that more and more all the time. We are able to be in an objectless state of love more and more all the time. We share that love through acts of kindness all the time. Putting our love into action, which is in itself the transmuting of fear. And we give thanks knowing that there is so much brightness happening on the inner planes, even though there is challenge in the outer. We're so deeply grateful for this opportunity to be in this sacred circle and to be embodied at this time on planet Earth, this pivot point in human evolution, the most exciting time imaginable. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for these beautiful bodies. And thank you for this remarkable and beautiful, fragile blue planet that we get to be part of. With deep, deep gratitude, thank you. Alalaho. We share our love. Lastly, before we close, we share our love with Libby and people like Libby who are struggling right now, who are suffering from the illness, from watching loved ones having to suffer. So we send our love to all beings on Earth who are going through suffering, all ecosystems, all plants, all animals, all people. We send our love, we send our blessings for the upliftment of the planet and for holding the heart space within each of us. Thank you. Alalaho. And so I say farewell for now, and I love you, and I will look forward to seeing you on the inner planes as we practice our rolling meditation between now and the next call at sunrise or sunset in your area. So bless you, everybody. I love you. Look forward to seeing you next time. Bye for now.